I told him when he come in, I saw Hope bringing one of the kids, and I wasn't paying attention. I looked and saw a pair of cowboy boots and a purse. I could tell it was a man's hand. I thought, who's coming in now? And it was Jesse. Son, that's just the beginning of sorrows. That's all I got to tell you. That's just the beginning of sorrows. But anyway, open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Many of you probably already are familiar with where I'm going to go. Probably no greater revival verse used than the one we're going to look at. And truly it was for revival. Israel gone through several things, and David just died and not long ago, and Solomon raised up, and Solomon took upon him to build a house for God. And if you turn in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, begin reading with me in verse number 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make into the house of the Lord. And in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and he said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Tonight, I want us to look just a moment at this verse in verse 14. It's one that many times we use when we think about revival. But I want you to pay attention to it just a moment, and I want you to listen. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. We are living in a time when we are in a church age of Laodicean church age. The Laodicean church age has gotten to the place where they see no need for God. They go through the motions. They have the buildings. They have the material things. But they seem to have no hunger and thirst after righteousness or after things of God. And so what happened was, they have gotten away, and the Bible says that the Lord has turned away, where he's on the outside knocking, wanting to come in. We was talking about Jesus coming. I'm not exaggerating. There's some places of worship that he could come and he would not even interrupt the whole house. No one would be missing. And it's gotten to the place where we fail to understand that we need God so desperately in our lives. Look just a moment. Tonight, I want to share with you a few things I saw in this verse that I hope will be a help. Look back in your verse, and I find there are certain things that are contrary to having revival. If we won't go to have revival, it's because we're going to have to deal with these four things. If we don't deal with these four things, we'll not have revival. And it's easy. It's easy just to pretend and go through the motions. But God has to, if we want the blessings of God, we have to meet his criteria. Sometimes we talked about conditional promises. This is a conditional promise. God says, if you'll do this, I will do this. And he told Solomon, he said, my house here that you built is going to be a very special place. I've heard your prayer. I'm going to recognize it's my house. When you come in here, I'm going to attend. When you come in here and you cry out to me, I'm going to have my ears ready. He said, but there's some things and criteria that you got to meet. He said everything's not going to be good. He said, there's going to be times when I'm going to send pestilence upon you and it's going to destroy your land. I'm going to send locusts. I'm going to send things. I'm going to send things that's going to hurt you, going to hurt your families, going to send a lot of pain. It's going to come. But what you need to understand is there are some things that you're going to have to recognize. Look back in your Bible just a moment and let's look at these things. There's four things that God recognizes that stands between us and having revival. Look, if you would, in verse 14. First of all, let me say this. If my people, he's not talking lost people. And can I say this? Lost people doesn't need revival. The saved needs revival. Lost people needs a savior. And so therefore we need to understand he's talking to his people. If my people which are called by my name shall what? Listen, pride. The day in which we're living, the Bible says in the day in which we're living that we're going to have proud people. Solomon, their sin, before it went to homosexuality, it was pride listed number one. In Proverbs chapter 6, as a matter of fact, keep your finger here and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. I want to go a few places in Proverbs real quickly. Leave you in Proverbs chapter 6. Notice if you would in chapter 6 and verse number 16. These six things doth the Lord what? Hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud what? In other words, the first and foremost thing that God hates is pride. You know what pride is or a proud look? A proud look is one that says, you know, they say, I don't need to listen. I don't need to hear. They say, I can do it myself. I don't need God. I can make it. I can figure it out. When we are proud, then we think that we do not need God in our lives, in the things of our lives. And therefore, if we want to have revival, we have to humble. Amen. The Bible says God giveth grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. And he says he hates a proud look. Look on in Proverbs just a moment. Notice if you would in verse number 8, chapter 8, in verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is to what? Hate evil. And what else? Pride and arrogance. An evil way in the forward mouth do I hate. In other words, he reminds us over and over and over, pride he hates. Pride is to say, I've got to the place where I'm doing it without God. Look on. Look if you would in chapter 11, verse number 2. When pride cometh, then what? Cometh shame. And with the lowly is wisdom. Look if you would in chapter 16, last place I'm going to take you here right now. Notice chapter 16. Notice if you would verse number 5. Everyone that is what? Proud in heart is a what? Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Look in verse 18. Pride goeth before what? And a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is be a humble spirit with the lonely than divide the spoil with the proud. So look back in your Bibles just a moment. Remember John when Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches? Y'all remember what he said in verse 5? Anybody happen to know that what verse 5 says? Without me, you can do what? Without me, you can do nothing. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you a couple questions as we go into the revival. Have you found yourself where you're not humbling yourself before God? Where you've kind of rose up and swell within yourself, and you find yourself doing things without going to God, without depending upon God, and taking it in your own hands, dealing it with your own ways? That's pride. If we are going to have revival, we have to deal with that aspect of our life. There's another thing that goes hand in hand with pride. Look back in your Bibles in Chronicles. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves in what? Prayerlessness. When do you quit praying? Let me ask you this. How many of you, if you thought you was going to have, Darlene was going for a test the other day thinking that there was a possibility they were going to tell her that she had cancer. I bet that changed your prayer life a little bit. How many of you have been praying? How much time do you spend praying? Prayerlessness goes hand in hand with pride. Prayerlessness say that we can get by without depending upon God. Why do we need revival? Because we get where we're not praying like we ought to pray. You know what happens? We wait till our whole life gets wrecked, and then we want to start crying out to God. Do we not? Do we not find ourselves going through the same cycles that Israel did? Wait till the pestilence destroy our field. Wait till it's not rain and rain not coming and our crops not coming up. And wait until we get oppressed by an enemy. And then all of a sudden we begin crying out to God. And God said, listen, my house is a place where I've ordained it, and I'll hear you when you come in and pray. And so what he says is, if my people shall which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And what? Seek my face. You know what? To seek means to search out. It means that you intentionally go to find God in worship. Now all of us, I doubt most of you that are here tonight, I would have confidence to say most of you are probably saved. Most of you would say that God is present everywhere we go. Most of you would say God's real. But very few of us would say that we spent time seeking the face of God. To seek his face means to seek his presence, to seek him in worship, to want him to meet among us and deal with us. And so, if we're going to have revival, things that stands in front of revival is our pride, thinking that we can do it without God. Prayerlessness, getting where we pray because we just tackle things our own ways. We've quit seeking searching God out, looking, asking Him to show Himself to us. I mean, how often? You know, sometimes I see God deal with somebody in a service. I see people talking, messing around with this, messing around with that. Instead of knowing that it's invitation, it should be a time when people are quiet, still, praying that God would move. It's amazing. It's amazing how little we pay attention anymore. It's amazing how little that we really want to seek God. God said, I'm available. He said, if you want me to send it, listen, we could have somebody come preach till the cows come home. That's not going to bring no revival. But if we deal with these aspects that prevents revival, we've talked about, we said that there were enemies, there were obstacles, there was things that stood in the way of revival. What are they? Pride? What else? Prayerlessness? What else? What's the third thing? Failure to seeking the face of God. But there's one more. Look at verse number 14. Look at the first three words. If what? If my people, what's happened to my people? Look on down. If my people shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and what? Turn from their what? Don't you ever think that God's people doesn't allow wicked ways come into their lives. And what happens is we have to turn from them. If we're going to have revival, God will meet with us. But if we're proud, He won't meet. If we don't pray, He's not going to hear us. If we don't seek His face, we're not going to find Him. Seek and you shall find. If we don't turn from the direction we're going, we're going to walk right out of this meeting the way we go into the meeting. In other words, if we want revival, it's going to be up to us. Now, what will God promise to do? Look what He says. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I what? I hear from heaven. In other words, He said, my ears are open. But He said, I'm not going to hear you if you regard iniquity in your heart. I'll not hear you. You want me to hear you? Then what you do is, look here, all through the Bible, did you notice how many revivals God sent throughout the Bible? You know when He would do it? It's when people get desperate enough where they break their old pride down, they quit exalting themselves in their own eyes, and they fall on their face before God. They cry out to God, and they begin to pray to God and seek God's face to come and do something. And you know what? He'd rise up and do something magnificent. All through the book of Judges, that's what He did time and time again. He'd send a Samson when they need somebody, a Gideon when they need somebody, a Jephthah, and all those different ones He would send when they need somebody. And look what happened over there when Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go preach to people in Nineveh when he went and preached. And he preached what God, and the king heard the word. He repented, and all the country repented, and in sackcloth and ashes, and God forgave them. And they were a wicked bunch of people. God says, listen, I stand ready all the time. Somebody said the other day, he said, I don't think it's possible to have revival in today. Oh, it's possible. The problem is we've got too much Laodicea in our blood. And our churches have grown cold. I'll take that back. Our churches have grown lukewarm. And what happens is this. We find ourselves not really seeking after revival. But God says, if you do, I'll hear. Look what else he says. I'll hear you from heaven. Then I what? Forgive their sin. In other words, listen. If we're going to get God to do something, then we're going to have to confess something. He says he's faithful and just, forgive us and cleanse us all unrighteous if we confess our sins. Look on, if you would, last part, and I'm going to close. And says he will do what to our land? He'll hear us. He'll help us. He'll heal us. You know what the word heal means there? It means to stitch back together. In other words, something that's been torn apart, something that's been separated, he will come and he will stitch it back together. You say, boy, I've gotten away from God. If you'll come with this recipe of revival, he'll stitch it back together. You say, boy, I tell you what, I've gotten where I've not been praying like I need to. You come and do those things that God says, and he'll stitch it back together. You say, man, this is missing, and I've lost this, and I'm losing this. He said he'll heal it. He'll put it back together. But it takes his people, which are called by his name, to humble themselves, to pray, to seek his face, and turn from the wicked ways. Amen. Let's stand tonight. You say, boy, I've really been concerned with the lost loved one. I've really been concerned with this issue in my life. I've really been concerned with this going on, that going on. Revival starts with God's people. How about tonight?